Luke chapter 2, crisis experience versus hope. That's what we're going to be talking about. Crisis experience versus hope. The inn versus the stable. We're going to use this story to look at a crisis experience versus hope. We're going to look today at how these conditions and emotions relate to the Christmas story and ours. The sermon in a sentence today is character over emotion wins in all seasons, but definitely in the season of difficulty. When something bad happens at this time of year, the usual statement is, and it had to happen at Christmas, you know? And it, justly so. It seems to be a heavier load when a crisis hits at this time of year. Well, what if your Christmas, Jesus had a crisis at this time of year? Because he could have been in a warm, controlled climate situation, and yet he was born in a barn. A crisis situation. How were Joshua and Joseph and Mary going to handle that? How were they going to relate to it? Again, sermon in a sentence. Today, character over emotions wins in all seasons, but definitely in the season of difficulty. Let's stand for the reading and reverence of God's holy word. It's my prayer and hope. Yay. That we are able to be prepared when our crisis comes, because it's going to come. It's going to come in every one of our lives. To some level, something is going to come. And when that time comes, that we will have a character that will win over our emotions during that situation. Here we go. Luke chapter 2, verses 1 through 7. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria, and all went to be taxed, and everyone into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife. Here it is, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. Now that's all that the Lord gives us. That's all that we have. But we have our understanding. We have our ability to put ourselves in that situation and know what kind of a crisis that could have been and certainly was for Joseph and Mary. Father, we ask you to add your blessings to the reading and preaching of your holy word. In Jesus' name we ask it all. Amen. You may be seated. So I got some bullet points I want to share with you before we get to the points of the message. And the bullet points are designed to, if you will, put this situation in the best perspective that you and I can ever put on a situation. The person is greater than the place. Jesus is greater than the stable. Jesus is greater than the manger. So as, if you will, freak out terrible as this had to be for Mary and Joseph, it's not what we use to qualify Jesus. We don't share our Lord and Savior with people and go, yeah, but, and I'm really sorry about the whole beginnings thing. That really doesn't make sense. We don't really figure that out. But, you know, he's really a great God. We don't use that to qualify. Aren't you excited about that? Amen. Things that are out of your control do not have to define you. And being born in the most lowliest setting on the earth does not define Jesus. It does give us a little bit of, you know, inkling as to how God does things. And how he works and how he overcomes stuff. And praise God for that. And we're going to hit that later at the end of the message. But the person is greater than the place. How about this? The soul is greater than the sight. What Jesus possessed and who Jesus was transcended his beginnings. Bullet point number three, the king is greater than the kingdom. The king is greater than the kingdom, and I put in parentheses, if he puts the kingdom needs before his own. And aren't you so glad Jesus does? And did. And he still does today. He puts the kingdom needs before his own. Next bullet point, the creator is greater than the creation. The greater is greater than the creation. I want you to, and I said this in first service and I forgot it until now, but if you get time, listen to the DVD when we get it on our media sources and just soak in these. These are good devotional thoughts. The creator is greater than the creation. It was no threat to God to be born amidst animals he created. It was no threat to God to be born in a clapboard barn that he created the trees that the barn was made out of. He was not uncomfortable. He's the creator. The creator is greater than the creation. And then these are some conclusions as a result of these bullet points. If you have to choose between a dwelling or the person of Jesus Christ, choose Jesus every time. Now, I don't know that any of us are facing such great compromises that we may lose our finances and our ability, quote unquote, to provide for ourselves, and we know who really provides for us. But speaking from a human perspective, I don't know that any of us are facing such life-changing compromises that if we choose Jesus, we're going to lose it all. The reality is that it has happened in the, it'll come to me. It has happened during the human experience for the last 6,000 years plus type thing. And it's going to happen again where people have to make a choice between Jesus or comfort. And based on those bullet points that we just said about Jesus, he's greater than the place. His soul is greater than the sight. He as the creator is greater than the creation. You're going to do well to choose him every time. He'll take care of you. He'll take care of you. If you have to choose, hear it, and now let's bring it down to home. If you have to choose between flesh and blood and brick and mortar, choose flesh and blood every time. Dawn and I were working through the whole minutia of do we go now to the ER or what, and remembering the chiding of the medical community. Why did you wait 10 days? Don't do this again. And, of course, I don't know how well y'all know Dawn, but she's tough as nails. And she just didn't want to because she knew what was waiting on her and she knew what she had in front of her and she wanted to do what was in front of her than what was waiting on her, if that makes sense. She's a teacher. She loves her class. She wants to be there for the next 3 days, so on and so forth. But I just looked at her and I said, babe, all that aside, I don't want to do anything that I'm doing right now without you. And if this situation threatens that, my mind's made up. We're going, type deal. Now, please, y'all understand, none of us live forever, not one of us. When that time comes, I'm going to do any and everything that God calls me to do without her, but I don't want to, if you understand that. I'm choosing flesh and blood over brick and mortar every time. Because it's in flesh and blood that the Spirit of God rests. And he can do anything. And I'm thrilled and thankful for these truths. So, why? Why to the bullet points and why to these conclusions that if you have to choose between a dwelling or the person of Jesus Christ, choose Jesus. Why? Because hope derives from the creator, not the creation. Hope derives from the creator, not the creation. If we're not careful, we put our eggs in the basket of creation. I'm hoping this job does this, that, or the other. I'm hoping this promotion does this, that, or the other. I'm hoping my wife, my husband, my boyfriend, my girlfriend, my brothers, my sisters, I mean, fill in the blank. We're looking to this creation to take care of us. And every one of us as Christians know that's not the place to look. And amens rang throughout the building. Jesus and Jesus alone is our only source of significance and security. Amen. And this is what this lesson is teaching. Hope derives from the Creator, not the created. Hope comes from flesh and blood, not brick and mortar. So point number one. Point number one, what was the situation? Well, A, there was no hope of an acceptable environment to birth a child in. There's no hope of that. We're full, and we're going to get to that in just a moment. This is a crisis situation to Mary. Ladies that have had babies, you can put yourself in this situation. Can you imagine? And we have at least one family here that can, and we talked about this in first service. We have one of our members here that was born in a truck. Not an ideal situation, but she's fine. She's fine. Mama's fine. I don't know that Dad has gotten over it yet, but I'm just, you know, that they're doing good. And it was a crisis situation, and I'm sure that their faith, I know their faith got them through that. Well, this is the same thing that Mary and Joseph are facing. Well, what's the explanation? We all have expectations, church. We all have societal norms that we've grown accustomed to, and to not have them brings undue stress and anxiety. You mean I'm not getting an epidural? I'm not getting any pain medicine. I don't have a bed that has stirrups that I can, you know, do that. No, no. You got a barn. Huh? A barn. Even though we all understand that it certainly wasn't like going to a hospital in those days, I'm certain a stable was not in the mind of a mother with a child to give birth in, much less alone with just your husband, much less with animals staring at you. I mean, that's what they got. So, point number two, what's the scene? Here's the scene. Jesus, God with us, the Son of God, the Savior of the world, born in a dirt floor stable under the stars. That's the scene. Hope delivered in a hopeless situation. So let's dive into the details of the two environments. In church, I'm begging you, put yourself in this situation. Try to work through, again, I love that word, this word, the minutiae, the details of the choices here, the inn versus the stable. What did the inn have to offer? Shared experiences. Folks, we are a societal people. We are a communal people. We want to go through stuff together as a general rule. There's some lone wolves out there. Probably need therapy. But nonetheless, I'm just telling you, as a general rule, we like to have folks around us during the good times and the bad times, during the difficult times, during the happy times. Joseph and Mary are no different. And the inn represented that. It was full. That means it was full of people. That means it was full of people that can share this experience. Togetherness. The ladies are going to go do what ladies do when a lady has a baby. The men are going to go over here and do what men do when men get together while their ladies are having babies. Now, I know we've changed all that in the last 40 years, and I'd like to know the so-and-so that come up with that idea. Because my father-in-law got to stay in a waiting room and yuck it up with all the other dads, and the doctor came in sweaty and tired and said, she's fine, you know. Okay, you know. Well, some dude thought it'd be a good idea to shove the husband in the room. Yeah. And you know what husbands do? Oh, my goodness. I never will forget the first time. I said, doctor, is that normal? Yeah, it's normal. Chill out, you know. He said, get back up there to the wife. Okay, okay. What am I trying to tell you? They didn't get to do none of that. They didn't get no togetherness. We're full. No togetherness. What about this one? Help. Get the water. Get the towels. Help. It's not there. Comforts of the civilized level of the day. So no, the inn's still not a hospital, but it's something compared to a barn. Boy, I like this one. Acceptance. The ladies that have had children are going to be talking to Mary about all the things to expect. They're going to be accepting her as one of them now. She's had a child. Joseph's going to be over there with the men. The dads are going to be telling him about all the things that he can look forward to when he's 12 years old, his eighth day circumcision. They're going to be talking about all that. They got none of that. Shelter. Several walls. Lanterns. Fireplaces. Shelter. How about this one? Status. We are worth someone else's trouble. So that's what the inn had to offer. What's the stall got to offer? You ready for this? Seclusion. Honey, I don't know what to tell you, but it's just us. Seclusion. Smell. Now, I kind of enjoyed this when I wrote it down because my wife has a very good nose. And things that animals do offend her nose. Doesn't offend me. And you need to know a little something about Dawn when she was a younger girl. Debbie, are you here today? Is Debbie here today? Debbie? All right. So this is no slight to Jerry Grody. But Jerry Grody was a hog farmer, and Dawn loves, to this day, Jerry Grody, but she had spent enough time at the farm to know she didn't want anything to do with a hog farmer. So she gave the Lord a list of three things that she was not going to tolerate in a husband. Number one, hog farmer. Number two, I can't remember two, but I think it had something to do with he had to have money. Number three, no preacher. Well, if you know me, I like to raise hogs when I get an opportunity. I like to have hogs around and such of that nature. So on number one, money. I mean, the Lord's blessed us. Please don't get me wrong. But, you know, you don't necessarily sign up for preaching if you want to become the quickest millionaire type thing. And then number three, preacher. She got it all. Church. Do not tell the Lord what you're not going to do. He just sets it in stone. Okay. And praise the Lord, she has submitted to that. But smell is an issue. And in this barn, we have that very situation. The likelihood of filthiness. Unpleasant and unfamiliar noises. Cold or whatever extreme of the environment was at that particular time. So I don't know. This may have been a hot time during that season. I don't know. But whatever it was in that barn also. Dust. You got hay, you got dust. You got animals, you got dust. Allergens. They didn't even know that word back then, but they had allergies. Spiders everywhere. Spiders. The possibility of being accosted by whoever wanted to walk in. In other words, it was not a secure building. Poor lighting. Now, I've given you the choices. If you are allowed to choose, which one are you going to choose? Well, you're going to take the inn every time. And so that brings us to the next point, the emotional struggle. Well, what happened when they turned away? I want you to put yourselves in the psyche, if you will, and in the emotional frailty of a pregnant woman, much less her husband, the sting of rejection. Church, it was full. And they were saying, we are full. In other words, you are not welcome. There's no room for you. You are not worthy of our inconvenience. Now, these are things that no one would ever say with their mouth, but they say it with their actions. You are not worthy of our sacrifice. Your condition does not sway our conviction. Mary and Joseph's personal rejection is pain enough, but can you imagine the rejection that they felt for their baby? I'm pregnant. Let me in. Make room. Put up with this. We're all under the same call, meaning we all have to be here to pay our taxes. We haven't done anything wrong. We happen to be pregnant. Let us in. No. You can stay in the barn. I want you to walk those steps with us. You've just been turned away in no uncertain fashion. This is point number four, the solution. Now, I confess to the first service, I don't know which one thought of it first. I believe with all my heart, biblically, pastors of our families, husbands, I believe with all my heart, we are the spiritual leader of the home. That doesn't, however, mean that we come up with every spiritual thought. Doesn't mean that we are always the emotional leader at the time. Sometimes the wife has a really good thought. So it could have been Mary, it could have been Joseph, but somebody on that walk from the shut door to the barn looks at the other and says, we're going to have a baby. We're going to have a baby and we're going to have it in the barn and it's going to be okay. Because this is God's baby. This is the Savior of the world. It's going to be okay. Church, I'm telling you, we've got to have that type of character so that when our season of difficulty comes, we can make it. And we can, I like this too, maybe we can fake it till we make it. But we can make it to a point that it brings glory to God in our situation. They had to accept what was available. The barn was available. In this case, a barn stall, a built-in faith and yes, hope. This is where the sermon rests. You ready? You listening? That God always has our very best at heart. And a lowly stable was the best scene for the Savior of the world to be born in. It wasn't the best he could do. It was the best for the situation. Watch this. You don't define Jesus by the barn. You don't use that as a qualifying situation. And we shouldn't allow our situation to define us. There's only one thing that stands out. And I'm sorry. There's only one person that stands out in this scene. And that's Jesus. You see, God didn't want the end getting the credit. God doesn't want Mary and Joseph getting the credit. God wants Jesus getting the credit. And he was born in the stable. What message does hope bring to assuage these painful crises? God has always done the impossible. Watch this. God has already done the impossible. He's impregnated a virgin and she's still a virgin. Somebody help me understand that. Only God can do that. They have experienced 3 angelic visits so far. God has facilitated an old couple conceiving, Zacharias and Elizabeth, with the forerunner. God changed Joseph's mind. Parentheses, you know how difficult it is to change a man's mind. Minor miracle, right? So now God has the task of healing the rejection, protecting from bitterness, giving them grace to respond to meager provisions with great humility and appreciation. Listen, church, as Americans, if we are not careful, we seldom see humility and a hat-in-hand approach as the answer. In God's kingdom work, it is the go-to. The first response now, God has the task of reassuring them that these provisions in this scene is not just adequate, but preferred. It is secluded. Perfect for a baby screaming. I'm going to use some poetic license here and assume the innkeeper was a Craig type and the barn was as clean as humanly possible. Yeah. I mean, God does those types of things. Our guarantee, nobody, watch this, nobody loves Jesus more than God the Father. So they could trust him with absolute certainty that this was a safe environment. The animals that Christ helped co-create were present. How fitting. Amazing creatures. Brother Gavin, I gave you credit in first service, so I'll do it in second service too. He's always faithful when he talks to a married couple. It wasn't Mary and Joseph alone before Jesus was born. It was Mary, Joseph, and God. You got the triangle. If you don't, married couples, if you don't see yourself in a triangle, you need to. You've got you, your loved one, and God. And that was present there on that day. Watch this. That was enough. To have God present in that situation, it was enough. Hope isn't a feeling, a concept, or an idea any more than truth or love is. Hope, truth, and love is a person, Jesus Christ. We face crises yearly, if not some of us daily. If we are going to exercise our sermon in a sentence, then the characteristic of hope must win over our emotion in seasons of crisis. There is nothing and will be nothing in this Christmas season, in the seasons of life, that cannot be overcome because of the hope of Christ, born in a stable, wrapped in swaddling clothes. You have hope. I don't know your situation. Your situation may be dire. It may be desperate. The reality is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, he knows everything about your situation. He will guide you through it if you will let him. But you've got to let him. In just a moment, I'm going to read a writing that I did a few years ago about the innkeeper. It's very short. We'll do it in just a moment when we stand and the musicians will come. But before then, got to get my brain going again. How old am I? 57. It happened again. So let's just go ahead and roll with it. Let's all stand, musicians, will you come? All right. So the innkeeper, if it comes back to me, hallelujah, praise the Lamb. If not, no problem. The innkeeper, what if he was invited to a reunion of all of the players in the Christmas story, bad and good? And this is written from his perspective. What would he say to Jesus? Well, Jesus, I'm here to tell you that I'm sorry. It's amazing what a few thousand years will do for your perspective. And the realization that you have the rest of eternity to contemplate one opportunity to receive the King of the universe. You see, the hustle and bustle of that time completely blinded me to the reality that was standing in front of me. I had visions of retirement in my mind. Because of Herod's decree, the town had exploded. My inn was full, and I had the best opportunity to make more money for me and my family that I felt like I would ever have. And it absolutely took me away from what I truly had in front of me. Because not only was my greatest opportunity to have financial security in front of me, but my greatest opportunity to have eternal life was in front of me also. And I traded golden streets and a perfect, healthy life in a climate-controlled setting for a few measly dollars. I'm sorry, Jesus. In hindsight, yes, our inn was full. But there was one spot I could have given you. I could have given you my bed. In this Christmas season, and it did come back to me, so, in this Christmas season, you're going to have a choice to be selfish or selfless. Let's remember this story in those opportunities, and let's choose selfless over selfish. You will not regret it. This is what I forgot, that God's so faithful. Church, we're not promised tomorrow. There's not a one of us that are going to live forever on this side of eternity. If you're here today and you have never, ever prayed what we call the sinner's prayer, Romans 10:9, that if thou shalt confess with the Lord thy mouth, the Lord Jesus, and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. We call it the sinner's prayer. I was 5 years old when I said a prayer similar to this. Lord, I know that I'm a sinner. I know that I deserve eternal punishment, but I believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross for my sins. So I ask him to come into my heart, forgive me my sins, and be my Savior. I've been saved ever since. If you've never, ever done that, oh my goodness, don't let another Christmas pass without introducing yourself to the person of Christmas. Father, we ask you to do your will and way in this invitation. Change us to look more like you. In Jesus' name, amen. Will you come?